Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. Today, we join Andrew as he teaches on the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit.
And he says that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And I could spend more time on this, but he's just basically saying people that aren't born again, people that don't have a relationship with God, cannot receive the Holy Spirit. When you receive salvation is when Jesus comes into your heart. You receive Jesus, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that Jesus is the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit. You cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit until you receive the giver of the Holy Spirit. So you first of all have to be born again. You have to have a relationship with God. You had to have received the forgiveness of your sins and been what Jesus called being born again. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:14 that when you speak in tongues, your spirit prays. Your spirit, not your brain, but your spirit. And your spirit is a part of you that has the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. You've been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created you, Colossians 3:10. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That's not true of your brain, but it's true of your born-again spirit. And when you start speaking in tongues, you start releasing this supernatural wisdom of God. Man, that's powerful. You need this gift. You need to be able to communicate beyond your understanding. You know, I was sharing a little bit earlier in this series about that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it was 3.5 years later before I spoke in tongues, and it was because I'd been taught against it and taught that it was of the devil. And the Lord doesn't force you to speak in tongues. And so it took me a while to renew my mind. And I had been studying this, and I got to a place to where I was hungry for it, and I wanted it. And I was out one, this is back before I was married, and it was late at night, and there was a field out close to our house. I mean, probably 10, 15 acres. It was just an open field. And I was out there praying late at night, and I was just so blessed. I loved the Lord. I'd already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And man, it says in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. And I was just so in love with the Lord. I was out there praising God, and I had been there for hours just worshiping and praising God. But it was frustrating because I felt more in my heart than what I could formulate in my brain and say with my mouth. And I was struggling and I was frustrated. And I actually got to singing this old Baptist song that we sang about, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." And I was thinking of that. And as soon as I sang that and thought it, the Lord spoke to me and He says, "I'm wanting to give you another tongue and you won't even receive one tongue. Here you are praying for a thousand tongues." And I just realized that one of the reasons for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that you can praise God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm not sure the exact verse on this, but it says that if you speak in tongues, you verily give thanks well. When you are praying in tongues, your spirit is praising God. And I saw all of this, and that's when I decided that, man, if speaking in tongues is going to help me to praise the Lord and to love the Lord and communicate better, because I just was frustrated. I loved the Lord more than I could verbalize. And that's when I started speaking in tongues. I said, man, that's it. And I just started speaking in tongues, believing that I was bypassing the limitations of my brain, and I was speaking out of my limitless born-again spirit, praising Him, and as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, giving thanks well, praising Him in a proper way. Speaking in tongues will allow you to go beyond yourself. It just empowers you. It gives you an ability that is beyond yourself. The Apostle Paul said, and I've already read these verses, but I want to make a different application of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 4, he says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." And so Paul was saying that he spoke in the wisdom of God, not in the wisdom of man. And he says that none of the princes of this world knew this wisdom, or they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, put this together with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where he's talking about speaking in tongues. And he says in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Follow after charity, God's kind of love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understandeth him." Again, this goes back to the fact that not all speaking in tongues is talking about a known language. This is talking about speaking in unknown languages. "No man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Now look at that. He says that when you are speaking in tongues, in the Spirit, it's your spirit praying, 1 Corinthians 14, 14, and your spirit is praying mysteries. You're speaking mysteries. Put this together with what Paul just said in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." When you speak in tongues, your spirit is praying out mysteries. And Paul said that the gospel that he preached was speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. Let me just ask you this. Where do you think that Paul got this revelation of the grace of God? He wrote half of the books of the New Testament. Of course, he was taught the Word at the feet of Gamaliel, but that isn't where he got all of this. He might have got the information. He may have had the, you know, it's like a computer. You load this stuff into a computer, but you have to have these programs to be able to draw that knowledge out, to be able to use it. You have to have a system running that can utilize that programming. Paul was programmed with the truth of the Old Testament Scriptures, but when he received Jesus as his Lord, Ananias came and laid hands on him, and he received the Holy Spirit. He spoke in tongues. He was called into the ministry. And then by Paul's own admission in Galatians chapter 1, he went into the desert for 3.5 years. I believe when he was in the desert, he spoke in tongues. And you know what happened? As he spoke the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery, he just began to interpret it. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We just read verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 13 says, "Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." So if you speak in tongues, what are you speaking in tongues? 1 Corinthians 14, 2, you are speaking the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. And what do? You pray that you interpret. And God just supernaturally starts revealing. You aren't speaking gibberish when you speak in tongues. There's a lot of people that criticize it and say it's gibberish. You're speaking in foolishness. It doesn't mean anything. No, it does mean something. And some people say, well, that doesn't sound like a real language to me. Did you know I've actually read some things about the Wycliffe translators that have found people that their language is nothing but whistles. Different tones of whistles. There was another group that I read about that it was just the clicking of the tongue, and how many times you clicked your tongue was the way that they talked. That doesn't sound like a real language, but it is, and they've actually translated the Bible into these languages that only whistle or click the tongue and do things like this. So what I'm saying is some people, you know, want to judge and criticize. There's some languages that are clicking of the tongue, whistle. It doesn't matter. You can't sit here and judge it. It may sound like foolishness to you, but the truth is, if you're doing this in faith and responding to the Lord properly, you are communicating in God in a heavenly language. You are speaking the hidden wisdom of God. You are releasing things out of your spirit that are awesome. Again, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that you have the mind of Christ, not up here in your little peanut-sized brain, but down here in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That's not true of your mind. You can't pass a test and make 100 every single time on every single test that is ever given. With your mind, you don't know all things, but in your spirit, you know all things. Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You, in your spirit, you have a supernatural understanding. If you're confused, if you don't know what's going on, if you're born again, your spirit's not confused. Your spirit has the mind of Christ. It has an unction from the Holy One. It knows all things. It's been renewed in knowledge. You do not have a knowledge problem in your spirit. You have it in your head, and your head can be like a roadblock. How do you release things if you can't understand it? When you start speaking in tongues, you're bypassing your brain. You're communicating with God straight out of your spirit. But does that mean that your mind doesn't receive any benefit? Well, it could be that way if you don't understand and if you don't know how to believe God. But if you would just do what this says, and if you pray in an unknown tongue, pray also that you may interpret. Ask God for an interpretation of your tongue. Man, that is powerful. Now, I'll concede this. These instructions are talking about how the gift of speaking in tongues operates in a church assembly. And it's saying you only prophesy, you only speak in tongues by two or at the most by three, and only if there's a person to interpret it. And this is talking about a church assembly, and it's saying that if you pray in tongues, you have to also pray for an interpretation of that tongue so that the other people can be benefited. And I agree that that is the context and that is primarily what this is talking about. But Paul said in this same chapter that he says, "I speak in tongues more than y'all." And so it wasn't in the church, because he said in the church, "I'd rather speak 5 words, 10 words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue."
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit. This 4-part series is available for a gift of any amount in either a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Ask for the Present Day Ministry of the Holy Spirit when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second CD titled, "Why Speak in Tongues," when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, the Lord is doing something special at our Charis Bible Colleges, and we now have over 6,500 people worldwide that are taking courses at this very moment. We have over 6,000 people who've already graduated, and we are in the process of building a campus in Woodland Park, Colorado, that is going to facilitate at least 4,000 people at any one time going on the main campus. And in order to do this, it's just costing a lot of money, but it's an investment. We aren't just cursing the darkness, we're turning on a light, we're training people, and they are literally going around the world. I would encourage you to be a part of this, to get some seed in the ground, to become a part of what God is doing by investing in our Charis Bible College.